Welcome to an Everything Iconic Pop Dive, where my guests and I deep dive into iconic pop culture touchstones. Today, we're diving into the Halloween classic Hocus Pocus. This 1993 Disney film was released, oddly enough, on July 16, 1993, and grossed just $39 million. However, the film gained a cult status with repeat viewings on the Disney Channel, ABC Family, now Freeform, and via home video and DVD. This year is the 25th anniversary of the film that stars Queen Bette Midler, Queen Kathy Najimy, Queen Sarah Jessica Parker, and Thora Birch. I invited my friend Amanda Hassica over to discuss the legacy of the film, favorite moments, other childhood Halloween classics like Casper and Nightmare Before Christmas, and so much more. This is an Everything Iconic Halloween pop dive into Disney's Hocus Pocus.
Jump back. Twist the bones and bend the back.
Eat it, Captain Malachemist.
Back in 1693, the people of Salem, Massachusetts.
Witches!
Yes?
Thought they got rid of the Sanderson sisters for good.
We shall be back!
300 years later, it's Halloween Eve, and they're back.
Uh-oh. We are home!
Are you broads a little old to be trick-or-treating?
You're talking about three ancient hags versus the 20th century. How bad can it be?
Now they're digging up old friends. And running amok.
Amok.
Looking for the one thing they miss most.
You stay for supper.
I'm not hungry.
But we are.
Only one boy has the power to stop them.
Prepare to die again.
You have no powers here, you fool.
Before all Salem falls under their spell. Disney Pictures presents Bette Midler.
Hello.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Would thou dance with me?
And Kathy Najimy. Hocus Pocus.
Into the night!
They love to fly. And it shows.
Good night. Sleep tight. No screaming.
Hey guys, I'm here with Amanda Hassica. Amanda, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm so excited you're here. Now, people might recognize your voice from the Newlyweds pop dive.
Yes, that was the thrill of a lifetime, that pop dive. I was so much fun. I could have talked about it for 10 hours.
Me too. Me too. And people are demanding a sequel. This will do for the sequel for right now.
Yeah.
So I love Hocus Pocus. Now, I just want to say off the bat that we did a Hocus Pocus episode last Halloween.
For the true Everything Iconic fans, you'll know that.
Right. For the people, you listened from the beginning.
Yep, from the jump.
Kind enough. And so there is a Hocus Pocus episode from the very beginning. I don't know what episode number. It's probably like 10, 11, 12 around there. But it's with Aaron Wallace, mm-hmm. who wrote a book called Hocus Pocus in Focus. So him and I last year, the audio's not as good as it maybe is now, but him and I talked extensively about Hocus Pocus, and he's like an expert in all things Hocus Pocus. So I thought this one will be a little bit looser. We're just going to chat through the movie and have a good old time, a gay old time.
I'm into it.
I'm excited, but I encourage everyone to go listen to that one.
It is. They're super. It's very, very interesting. I remember. Yeah. He wrote a book on it, and it's just like I did not order the book, I'm not gonna lie, but am I being loud?
No, you're good.
Okay. Maybe I'll order it this year.
It's good. Everyone should get the book. It's like there's so much interesting stuff, and I had gotten the book for Christmas, and I remember reading it like around Christmas time, and then I reached out to him, and I was like, will you come on my show? And he's so sweet.
Love
anyway,
it.
Do you remember the first time you saw Hocus Pocus?
So I don't really remember it. Like exactly like the first time ever watching it. I feel like a lot of my memories of Hocus Pocus are watching it at like sleepovers.
Right.
Like every time that there was a sleepover around this time of year, it was watched. And so to me, that my biggest memories of Hocus Pocus are kind of like centered on being with like a big group of girls and, you know, watching it and thinking it was so much fun.
Right. And you're a huge Disney fan, correct?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So what do you love about Disney, the brand?
So I love that they've like leaned into the kind of cult status of this, because if, you know, in Aaron's book and stuff, he talked about how the movie, it like bombed essentially, mm-hmm. and they had like no faith in it, and they
released it in July.
They released it in the summer, and they were like, whatever. And then it just like persisted. And I feel like it didn't really reach a huge like cult status until, I don't know, maybe like 2010, 2011. Yeah. And then slowly but surely, like when Freeform, formerly ABC Family, started showing it, like I think people were just like, oh my God, we love it. And it gave an opportunity to just like watch it over and over again. And people can like gush over it. And
you know what I feel like really set it over the edge was the rise of like listicles online. Oh my gosh, yes. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like around 2010, that was like the BuzzFeed coming right. about. And it was like every year you'd see these like greatest hocus pocus moments or mm-hmm. something like that, or GIFs and everything like that. And that really helped it, I think.
So I remember in 2011, I was working for this website called Slut Buzz. I don't even like know if they exist anymore.
What was
anymore.
It called? Slut Buzz? Slut Buzz?
Celeb Buzz. Oh. I have a tendency to like work for companies and stuff that have like the most confusing names. Like everyone's like Celebuzz because it was like 1B. And
do
it
we
was,
know what Slut Buzz is? Is that a website? I feel like it
I'm
is.
Gonna buy the domain like right now. Slut Buzz. Coming to a town near you. It's my new endeavor. No, so
Celeb Buzz. I do remember. I know that.
Yeah. So yeah. They used to do all the Kardashians like blogs and stuff mm-hmm. before they have apps now or whatever. But anyways, so in 2011, I remember I was like, well, I'm a big Hocus Pocus fan. And we were trying to come up with Halloween content. My boss was like, why don't you do like, where are they now for the cast? And I did. And I remember doing that. And I tried to look it up last night. All the photos are gone from it, but like the captions still remain. And I'm not even, so I was also looking at the Hocus Pocus Wikipedia and they cited my article on the Hocus Pocus Wikipedia.
Oh my God, amazing. Amazing. So, and I love that you did your research before coming over.
I did, yeah. I watched it too, even though I feel like I've seen it like 700 times.
Right. But don't you feel like it's one of those movies, I've seen it a million times, and usually around this time of year, I'll put it on and it'll just be sort of playing while I'm doing other things.
Or like in fragments where you're right. like, oh, I'm going to watch like the first half an hour, or the last half an hour, like the middle or something random.
Right, totally. But it's such a different experience like sitting down and mm-hmm. actually, because I put it on too and I was like actually trying to watch it. And it's still so good. But so I'm going to run through the movie very quickly. And then, you know, of course, we're going to ask you some questions about it. So we open in the past. There's three witches, the Sanderson sisters. They eat Emily for her youth.
Winifred, thou art a mere sprig of a girl.
Liar. But I shall be a sprig forever once I suck the life out of all the children in Salem.
Same. I'm like at that point right now.
I know. I was watching and I was like, I think I would do that.
Right? Like relatable. Like the old, when you're obviously a child watching it, you're like these horrible women. And then you get older and you're like, my youth. Like I just want back.
Were you scared of it as a kid?
I think so. Really? I think there were portions of it that I think I thought were scary.
Were you attracted to Max?
Yeah, he was a hottie for sure.
Right.
Wasn't like Leonardo DiCaprio supposed to play the role?
Yeah.
Thank God he didn't.
I think I would have liked it.
Yeah. I'm not a Leo girl, so.
What'd you say?
I'm not a Leo girl.
Oh, I thought you said I'm a naughty little girl.
Danny, your mind.
I told you I'm like in sort of a migraine hangover, yeah. So like everything's a little fuzzy.
Your audio, like what you're hearing, is your auditory senses.
I'm a naughty little girl, so
I'm gonna tell that to what's his name, Omri Katz or whatever.
What's going on with? Did you research what he's doing now?
So I was looking up the last time he was seen that
he's the one who
tell,
played Max.
He yeah. played Max. The last I could see was he was at some like Disney D23 celebration for the 20th anniversary. Mm. He looked hot. He had like kind of like a long hair vibe, a beard.
Interesting. If I was in one of these Disney movies, like I would live off that forever. Oh like God. I would just do every event they wanted me at. Like
conventions.
I'd be at the parks. Just walking around the parks.
Like hoping someone notices you.
So they eat Emily. Yeah. They don't really eat her. They sort of like suck her soul.
Out.
And then Thackeray Binks is her brother. And this was just like something as a kid, I always thought it was Zachary Binks.
I think everybody on the planet Earth thought it was Zachary. And you're like, wait, no, Thackeray's not a name.
It's Thackeray.
Thackeray.
Yep. And then the witches are about to be hung. And then they do a spell with their book. that iconic mm-hmm. book, mm-hmm. to return for All Hallows Eve when someone lights the black flame candle, a virgin.
My ungodly book speaks to you when All Hallows Eve, when the moon is around, a virgin will summon us from under the ground. We shall be back, and the lives of all the children shall be mine.
Then that's sort of that sets in motion. Then we flash forward to present day, which is actually like 93. And then Max and Danny, played by Thora Birch, they move to a new town in California. And
they move from California. From California, to, right? Like New England somewhere.
Right. And Max is wearing like a tie-dye shirt, which reminds me of Spencer Pratt. Like, doesn't he sort of have
that? Like, he has like crystals like in his pocket.
Yeah, like his tie-dye shirt. I was like, I feel maybe like that he looks like Spencer Pratt.
Maybe that's where Spencer got his fashion inspo.
Probably. Also, I love the bullies that Jay and Ernie.
Oh my gosh.
Ernie goes by Ice.
Yes. My name ain't Ernie no more. It's Ice. Yeah. My sisters and I used to like quote that, like just constantly. We thought that was the funniest thing ever.
They also offer him bud, or they're like, you know, let's do some bud. Bud is
weed. This is such,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Which that
surprised. Or a Bud Light.
I didn't catch that as a kid. I was like, are they asking him to smoke weed?
Well, you know, they probably because. More like probably 90% of the time you've watched Hocus Pocus, it was on TV and they probably cut that up for TV, you know, because it's super scandalous.
I watched the uncensored version.
Which I think also in the uncensored version, someone says like, go to hell or something. So it's real naughty.
They're throwing, Bette Midler's throwing a fucks around.
Yep. X-rated.
Also, when the bullies steal his shoes, first of all, it's like, what the fuck? Why are they stealing his shoes? And I, rewatching it, it felt... Okay, this might sound gross, and I hope this doesn't turn people off, but it felt a little homoerotic to me.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, we're going to take your shoes, and they sort of, like, did this long, lingering shot where they were,
foot
like,
touching
the legs, and I was like, this is... I'm getting the tingles, and...
Maybe someone with, like, a foot fetish. Maybe, like, Jax Taylor was the cinematographer of that scene.
Well, it was directed by Kenny Ortega, who, of course, did High School Musical.
Iconic.
And I saw him once at a mall out here in California, like, when I first moved here. In the valley. Mm-hmm. And he was eating alone in the food court. And I remember thinking, like, should I go up to him and talk about like High School Musical or Hocus Pocus? I did not. And I regret that every day since.
to this day. He also did Dirty Dancing.
God, I love Dirty Dancing.
He is an icon, a legend. My sisters and I were so obsessed with High School Musical. Like we would watch all the like extra DVD features. We love him.
Speaking of homoerotic scenes, do you remember in High School Musical 3 when he had like a shower scene, Zac Efron?
Of course. I dream of that. I love Zac. I don't care about his rumored sexual orientation.
Is he rumored to be gay?
Yes, there are tons of rumors.
Oh my God, Zac, call me.
I know. I will love him forever, though. I don't care.
I never got a gay vibe from him. Truly.
I would be his beard. Yeah. Any day, all day, every day. I love him.
He's very sexy. Although I didn't like when he got too ripped. Mm. Like, I didn't like his Baywatch body.
Yeah.
Did you see Baywatch?
I did. I, like, half-watched it.
It's a plain movie.
It's one of those movies where you're like, I can't decide what to watch here. I'm going to put on Baywatch, and then you should look at your phone the whole time and kind of glance up.
I'm diverting for another second. We're getting really off track here, but did you ever watch Baywatch, like, the original?
I didn't, but my roommate did, and she was, like, around when I was watching it, and she, like, knew, oh, like, that's this character, and that's that character, and I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, Cody from the original, he's like, I mean, he literally, like, I remember seeing him as like a 5-year-old on TV and being like, oh my God, am I a big gay? And he goes to my gym now and I see him there every, like almost every single day. And he's like very old, but he still looks like stunning.
Yeah.
And his body looks like a 20 something. It's like, what's going on
here? He's sucking the lives out of children for sure.
Emily, for sure. So then we mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio was originally offered Max, and he did What's Eating Gilbert Grape instead. Who remembers that movie?
Poor choice. Poor choices all around.
So then Max, of course, lights the black flame candle to impress Allison, who's like the hottie at the school. Mm-hmm. What's Allison up to? Do we know?
Wasn't she in like Eyes Wide Shut or something like that Stanley Kubrick? Maybe like the sex orgy movie. Yeah.
Tommy, can you hear me?
And Nicole. I don't know. Was she in that?
I think so. I don't know. But I didn't really look up her very much because I was...
How dare you?
I know.
Amanda, what kind of research did you do?
I'm sorry. I will say, I remember that one because when I was watching it last night, I was kind of like taking little notes and stuff. And one thing I do remember I think about one of the first times I watched it is, remember that scene where she like puts the red hood up after she like trolls him and like gives him his phone number back? I remember being like, is she evil? Is she a witch? Like, what's happening? And then you're like, oh, that's just like, I don't know. Do you think that was like intentional? Or
maybe. Maybe. I'm rethinking it all right now. You know, when you said red hood, the immediate thing that came to mind was Hilary Duff's performance in Casper versus Wendy.
Yes.
Or Casper, is it Casper meets Wendy?
Or yeah, Casper versus Wendy. They're, yeah, the follow-up. They have like a feud.
Casper versus Wendy.
I loved that movie. Yes, that's like an icon. I feel like
her
that was
debut performance.
It really was. And then she went into Lizzie McGuire, and now she's the icon that she is today.
We might have to talk a little bit about Casper later.
Yes.
You know, Allison, we first meet her in the school, but then when Max goes to her house when they're trick-or-treating, and she's, her family's lives in this like beautiful house, and they're having this very weird Halloween party where it's like everyone's supposed to dress Victorian.
That's like the weirdest. Like,
I know. And I totally thought, because Kenny Ortega, I think, is a bit gay, the director. And I was thinking, he like modeled that after Madonna's VMA performance. Like they all look like, I'm certain of it. Like I know that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
When she did like a Virgin and, or yes, she did Vogue. It was Vogue. And they were all in those same outfits.
What year was that? That performance was,
that had to have been like 91, 92, so probably during prep.
Dude, that's 100%. He watched that and like wrote down his little notepad.
I think so. So then the witches come back. We have the three witches. Sarah Jessica Parker, she's the boy crazy one.
I am beautiful. Boys will love me.
And then we have Kathy Najimy, who's the eater. Like that's like her big, you know what I mean? It's like, that's her
very 90s humor of like fat lady liking food.
My favorite is when all the witches are like getting their brooms, like they don't have the brooms, and then she rides the vacuum.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then Bette Midler is, of course, the leader. Which witch did you love the most or relate to the most, or who touched you the most?
I probably just liked Sarah Jessica Parker the most, just because she was ridiculous. And I don't know. It's hard because it's like you're not necessarily rooting for the witches. So right. I don't even know if I had a favorite, but I guess I thought that she was funny. And I'm like, oh, well, she's like the pretty one. So as like, you know, an 8-year-old girl, I probably gravitated towards that. So
rewatching it was interesting when she's like sitting on the bus driver's lap and he like kind of has a look. I don't know. There's just so many like weird sexual innuendos and inappropriate things that totally go over the heads of kids.
100%.
But in, like, a great way.
Doesn't he say something about like they want children? And then she's like, he's like, it'll take me a couple tries, but.
Right.
What is this contraption?
I call it a bus.
A bus.
A what? And its purpose?
To convey gorgeous creatures such as yourselves to your most forbidden desires.
Well, hence it. We desire children.
Hey, that may take me a couple of tries, but I don't think that'd be a problem. I'll point up.
And you're like, what? Like,
wait a minute.
Like, you don't, like, when you're watching it as a child, that's not something you're thinking about, but.
Also, I'm just remembering the mom, Max's mom, when she's wearing the Madonna costume. So clearly, Kenny Ortega had a Madonna thing. Which I get.
That would be such a good Halloween costume.
The Madonna one?
The Madonna. I would love to wear that.
What is your best Halloween costume that you've ever done?
Oh my gosh, my best Halloween costume.
I'll tell you mine. I dressed as zombie Diane Keaton from Something's Gotta Give.
That's iconic.
I love it.
That's so good.
It appeared in BuzzFeed, best homemade costumes.
That's amazing. I remember one year in college, I think I dressed up as like Lindsay Lohan, and I carried around a bag of like, this was like 2007. So this is when she was like in her really intense throes of like being crazy. And I think I walked around with like a bag of flour pretending like it was cocaine.
Oh my God.
That was probably one of my more risque ones, but that one's like not really a costume. Like I literally just like wore an outfit and then carried around.
Yeah.
Did anyone, cocaine.
People probably thought it was coke.
It was a lot, though. So if I had been walking around with that much, I probably would have been arrested.
So the Hocus Pocus, the makeup and the costumes are flawless and iconic. Mm-hmm. And I remember I read some reviews as I was doing some research. And a lot of the reviews at the time thought that the makeup and the costumes were like too cheesy. Overboard. Mm-hmm. And it's like now these are truly, truly iconic looks.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I feel like a lot of the movie kind of holds up,
totally.
I want to say.
Totally.
Like, the special effects were pretty good. And although I will say, towards the end. I don't know if this is just me, like, because I've like worked in production and like you see sound stages and stuff like that. Like the stuff at the end feels like a sound. Soundstage. It's like, this is a sound stage. Yeah. But I mean, everything else about it, I think, really holds up.
You're so right. Like, I was going to touch on this later, but I feel like there's not a whole lot. I mean, we talked about Madonna, but there's not a whole lot of like current or pop culture references in it.
Yeah.
And then there's also not like technology in it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel dated to me at all. Like, yeah, even the fashions feel very like could be any time.
Totally.
I think that's one of the things I think that sets it apart and makes it feel like it always feels current. I think, yeah, new generations can discover it and it doesn't feel dated.
I agree.
So then the witches put a spell on the town. And of course, we get that iconic song and dance, mm-hmm, scene, I Put a Spell on You, which, yes, Bette Midler does now in concerts when she performs.
I love that. That's amazing.
Like, yeah, she puts on the costume and she does I'll Put a Spell on You. Which, by the way, is not available on iTunes or Spotify.
It's homophobic.
Homophobia at its finest.
I've truly
forever. I've had this like MP3 rip of it, you know, where it's like the intro, yeah, or like it's them talking in it, yeah, and then it goes into it.
You know, one thing I also realized, I don't think I had ever really put two and two together, but the dad from this movie is also the villain from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh my God.
I was like, I've seen Dumb and Dumber probably just as many times as I've seen Hocus Pocus.
Oh my God. And I think I always, Amanda, I'm blown away right now. I did not even put this together.
I think a part of me always knew, because I feel
everyone like, pull over to the side of the road if you're listening to this. This is a,
I'm dropping knowledge.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like I would watch Dumb and Dumber and be like, God, he like looks so familiar. And then I would watch Hocus Pocus and be like, God, he looks so familiar. And then I was kind of like, wait, that is the same person.
I'm blown away right now.
Right?
I truly did not ever think that.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber is one of my all-time favorite movies. Same. Too.
I love, I agree,
it. Oh my God. So then they put a spell on the town and the witches resurrect Billy Butcherson, who, that's why I was scared of this movie as a kid. Like, oh, I was scared of Billy.
That
and
makes
I read
sense.
That they were going to give him like a song and dance number, but they didn't have the budget or something. And I would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
You weren't scared of Billy?
I don't think so, no.
You are so badass.
Maybe I was so scared of it that I repressed all memories of my fear, mm-hmm, of him, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which, you know, could be very well be the case. But I feel like Billy Butcherson today because I hurt my finger yesterday and it's like bruising and I feel like it's going to fall off.
Oh my God.
So pray for me.
I don't, it looks okay.
It's better than yesterday.
Everyone say a prayer.
But you know, I just feel like I'm like a zombie. I was like, that's how I felt like you, when you see like his head fall off and all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, this, my finger is going to fall off. I am Billy Butcherson.
Wow. That's all happening. So we're going through this quickly, yes, but they defeat the witches. Billy returns to the grave. Thackeray dies and his soul goes to the afterlife after he thanks Max and Danny and Allison. Mm-hmm. And so he gets to go off with Emily, his sister.
Yeah.
Emily.
And it's a beautiful ending.
You know, I feel like a lot of times in like English classes and stuff like that, they're always talking about like metaphors and like parallels. And I feel like it's nothing you really take into account. But the older you get, you're like, oh, wow, Thackeray and like his sister are supposed to be like Danny and Max.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think I ever made that connection.
You never made that connection.
No, like,
you know, I'll tell you something. This is kind of embarrassing, but when I remember watching this as a kid, and my name's obviously Danny.
Yes, yes.
And her name was Danny, and we're the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And Max reminded me of my brother Brian, like my middle brother, because I would try to like hang out with him. I have an older brother than him too, but Brian, I would like try to hang out with. And I remember around that time it came out, like Brian was too cool for me, you know? And I like always wanted to be like hanging out with him and his friends and stuff. So I remember just watching this and being like, this is my life.
Relatable.
I was like, they got my life on screen. Like, I literally thought, oh, I was like, God, did they like, are they watching me? Like, yeah, is Big Brother here? Yeah. Like, who wrote the script?
I feel like I almost relate more to the Sanderson sisters because I have two sisters as well. Oh. So that's.
Which one are you most like?
I have no idea.
Are you the leader of the sisters?
Yes and no. We all rotate. Like, I feel like we all have shades of each mm-hmm. one. Maybe not mm-hmm. Sarah Jessica Parker. We're not sluts. And no, I'm yeah. just kidding. Yeah. No, I don't mean to.
She's boy crazy.
Yeah.
She's boy crazy. And mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I actually think it's interesting. I think I maybe talked about this before, but Sarah Jessica Parker has so many iconic roles that you sort of forget. Like, she's been in a lot of movies that have stood the test of time, like this. I mean, most people think of Sex and the City, but it's like yeah. she's done a lot of other parts. What's that other one, the sleepover movie? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sleepover movie. Oh, like Girls Just Want to Have Fun,
yes,
or whatever?
Girls Just yeah. Want to Have Fun and this and
well,
First
then let's
Wives
not
Club,
forget. I was going to say Bette Midler yeah. and Sarah Jessica Parker went on to do in another iconic movie, First Wives Club.
And they also want to do another Hocus Pocus. So the Hocus Pocus franchise, they announced, oh, here, I wrote down like the timeline of it. We'll okay. get into this right now. So the franchise is, of course, still alive and well, maybe more so than ever. But so in terms of like a sequel, follow-up, reboot, in 2014, Bette Midler said that her and SJP and Kathy and Jimmy would return if asked. That was 2014. Then 2015, Bette Midler said, no, it's not happening. She said in like a Facebook question live thing yeah. or whatever. Then in 2016, on Watch What Happens Live, SJP said they all want to do it. They want to do it. Then September of 2017, it was announced that Disney Channel's writing a remake of it. Okay, so that was September of last year. Now, we haven't heard anything about it this year. And I'm wondering, after Disney announced that, Bette Midler said she doesn't want any part of this Disney Channel thing. I'm wondering if Disney has decided to shelve the idea. I don't know any. This is just me theorizing. If they Disney Channel or if Disney decided to shelve the Disney Channel thing and go through with a sequel or remake, because I feel like they got a lot of flack for announcing a Disney Channel thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, totally. I think, yeah, no, I would agree with that because they probably wanted to like do both in a sense, because it's probably like a lot cheaper to like do something on the Disney Channel or do it that way or not have, you know, so they were like, we're going to do something. And then people weren't happy with that. So then they're backtracking.
I don't know why Disney won't make a sequel if they all want to do it. And I have the same problem with Romy and Michelle, one of my all time favorite movies. It's like Lisa Kudrow and Mira Sorvino both said they wanted to do it. They had an idea for it, but Disney wouldn't approve it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, Disney's only interested in making these huge tentpole yeah. movies now. And it's just so upsetting because it's like, this is Hocus Pocus or Romy and Michelle. These are movies that have lived on and given them so much money throughout the years. Yeah. They're replayed all the time. And so it's like, I don't understand why they can't just approve a mid-budget movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, yeah, all just kind of comes down to money. And it's, you know, on one hand, I feel like you would think, oh, maybe they're thinking about the legacy of the movie and they don't want to tarnish it, because it no, is true not. That sometimes they're not like they're 100% not, but maybe they think fans are thinking that fans are nervous that if they were to do something, because there is a lot of pressure there to like live up to the original right. at this point, you know, it's been 25 years. It's one of those movies that we will literally be talking about every Halloween right. season, every year till the end of time. So it's like,
The only hope I have is, so Disney announced this new streaming service. It's going to be like the rival of Netflix. And they've announced like a lot of their mid-budget stuff in there. I think just recently they announced a Scarlet Witch TV show, which mm-hmm. is going to be like 6 episodes with Elizabeth Olsen.
Right.
And then they also, I don't know the details of it, but I think they mentioned like a Mighty Ducks reboot there.
That would be awesome.
And they're putting a lot of money. And so I feel like that. That's my hope, is that they would do something for the streaming, like whether it be a movie, but like a little bit bigger budget than a Disney Channel thing. Because the yeah. Disney Channel shit, shit.
Yeah.
It's like kind of shit now. I tried to watch the Freaky Friday remake they just made.
So, yeah.
And it's not that it's bad, but it's just there's no budget there. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that tracks. I feel like that's definitely something that if they're not already thinking of doing that, they should, because that's pretty smart.
Right. Do you have a favorite scene from this movie, Hocus Pocus?
A favorite scene.
I'll tell you mine while you think about it. So my favorite, which it's also the most upsetting, it's Gary and Penny Marshall's appearance.
Which they're brother and sister and they play husband and wife.
It's like, so like watching it now. So you guys know when they're trick-or-treating, the witches go to the devil's house and it's Gary Marshall dressed as the devil. And then his wife is played by Penny Marshall, who I love. I mean, I'm obsessed with Penny Marshall, but that's like weird as fuck.
That
like,
is that really is weird. Whose idea was that?
I know. It's like,
is he friends with Kenny Ortega or something?
Must be. And Penny Marshall, of course, directed League of Their Own, and she's yes. an icon. And also, this it was reported that Kathy Najimy's part was originally offered to Rosie O'Donnell. So that could have been a reunion.
Could you imagine, what a sliding doors situation? Like, what would it have been? Maybe it would have been huge when it premiered if Rosie was in it, and then maybe right. It would have faded into obscurity.
Because Rosie was a huge star at the
time. She was.
And speaking of Rosie and Penny Marshall, do you remember those iconic Kmart commercials?
Yes. They're flooding back to me right now. I've not thought of them.
I think about them every day before bed. I cannot.
Say your prayers.
I say my prayers and then I rewatch Penny Marshall, Rosie O'Donnell, Kmart commercial. I cannot get over the fact that Kmart hired them to sell their goods. It's like the most, even though Rosie at the time was very popular, it's like they were selling fashion goods at the time. Like, I remember they were in a jean commercial and it's like,
well, looky here.
Think they got enough jeans?
Makes me want to sing.
Please don't.
Wrangler, Wrangler, Wrangler. No. Wrangler, we get Kmart. No. Wrangler now on sale at Kmart. Come on.
Style you can wear. Uh-huh. Comfort here and there.
Uh-huh. Wrangler, we get Kmart. Kmart. Get the jeans.
$14.89.
And a short.
$12.89.
Wrangler jeans, $14.89. Shorts.
They literally hired the most visually unappealing people. I love them to death, but it's like you don't hire these visually...
Yeah. I feel like brands want everything to be sexy and, right. You know, they're talented women, forces of nature. I don't know if I would call them sexy.
They're not necessarily known for their fashion. They're their not. Looks.
I mean, Rosie, I feel like her, you know, she would obviously have her blazers and her suits on her show. So maybe that, I'm trying to think.
And then not only that, but Penny doesn't, you can't even understand what she's saying all the time. Yeah. So it's like for an ad campaign, it's just funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss those. Why can't they bring them back?
They really should. I mean, for nostalgia purposes. Is
everyone hates Rosie now, but I still would like her to come back in a Kmart commercial.
Is Penny Marshall alive?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Gary Marshall is one.
Gary's just passed. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Love him in Never Been Kissed.
Did you ever watch his holiday movies, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day?
I love those. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They're so good and bad.
Yeah. I love those. So I bawled my eyes out at New Year's Eve. But
so anyway. What was your favorite scene? Did you think of it?
You know, I think that I like the scene where they kind of go to Allison's house and for the trick-or-treating thing. I remember thinking that chocolate witch lollipop she had looked just so tasty. And it's kind of cute to kind of see them that's kind of the beginning, the genesis of their adventure. Sure. So
the origin.
I think that's kind of fun. Yes.
We touched on a sequel or we touched on what they would do. What do you think would or should happen for a sequel?
See, that's hard because they did a pretty definitive,
right.
They died at the end. So. I mean, we were talking about origins, maybe an origin story of the Sanderson sisters, them putting spells on people. Were they, born witches? Did they, because they say something about, doesn't Danny say something about you sold your soul to the devil or something? So maybe right. They did some kind of deal with the devil where they became witches. Is it a Sabrina the Teenage Witch scenario where they all got their powers at a certain age? I would like to know these things.
God, I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I was obsessed.
That I was beyond obsessed. It's on Hulu. I watch it from time to time. I had a board game.
Oh my
Sabrina
God.
The Teenage Witch board game.
Can we play it sometime?
I will ask my mom to bring it down. Although, if Kara, you're listening, I think Kara might have, my sister, she might have gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. We had
Kara, how dare you?
I know! So rude.
Kara.
What was the oh God, she got rid of, what was it? We had all those scenic games. Oh, and speaking of High School Musical, we literally had DVD High School Musical games where it was interactive.
Sure.
And I think they got rid of those, so...
What the fuck?
There's probably a Hocus Pocus board game.
There's a lot of Hocus Pocus merch. I don't know. I think it's Party City. They do the Hocus Pocus merch. I have a sign over there that's the witches.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to Kara works at Party City. So
oh my God,
plug.
Kara. So if you want to make it up to us, send us some Hocus Pocus. Maybe it's not. I don't know if it's Party City. It's one of those Halloween stores. They sell Hocus Pocus merch and it's officially licensed merch. However, it's a lot of it's very much garbage. I bought these wine glasses that said I'll put a spell on you or something. And it was these witches.
Yeah.
I put them in the dishwasher once, ruined. And then something else I bought last year, or Matt got it for me. It was just all this stuff fell apart instantly. I got home, took it out of the bags and everything just disintegrated.
So you'll keep buying it year after year.
I know. Exactly. It really is the truth. But it's interesting to me how they merchandise it so much now. Even in the parks, they're doing it in... I mean, you're probably more familiar than I am, but don't they do a Hocus Pocus at Magic Kingdom or something?
Yeah, so I think they have, at the Magic Kingdom, they have this thing called the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Okay. And in Florida, so this is in Florida, not here in California, but they do, there's like a performance or a parade or something very Hocus Pocus centric, which I would love to go to eventually someday. But yeah, and even I was at the Disney store at the Century City Mall. We were talking about Century City Mall before we got started. But yeah, they have a whole display of like, they have this thing, these things called like spirit jerseys that they, it's like not quite a sweatshirt. It's kind of like an oversized tee, like something you would see like a Sheena. 90? Yeah.
Okay.
A nightie.
Like no. Sheena wears to bed.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. Something like, you know, when you see like Sheena and Lala wearing those like insanely oversized shirts or like long sleeve shirts, that's kind of what they look like. Yeah. They have all these like Hocus Pocus licensed ones and just all this.
It's so interesting because I feel like they really resisted doing any merch for Hocus Pocus for 10, 15 years, 20 years.
Well, I think merch is just a big thing that's emerged. People want like to wear shit. Like they're like, I want this like little thing. I want this trinket. I want like this hat or whatever. Like, I feel like it's just such, I feel like with like the rise of like Etsy, they people probably were making little, their own little things on Etsy. And this is something I think that happened with like Disneyland and the parks is Disney sees these third parties having such success that they're like, wait a minute. And so then they decide to kind of, you know, make their own.
I will buy it all. I mean, look, you're sitting in my office right now and I have pop culture shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And those Funkos are my own hell.
Yeah.
Like I keep buying them. And Matt's like, I need to stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's, the Hocus Pocus brand is stronger than ever. They replayed on Freeform. They were even having a marathon one night. I think it's Halloween night they're doing a marathon.
It's like how they do, it's like A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Which is not even that good of a movie. Sorry.
A Christmas Story?
Sorry, how I said you. It.
That's a wrap on Amanda.
I just think of, I could think of better Christmas movies to play.
Yeah. You know, I'm from Cleveland and the house is there. That's where they filmed and they do a tour. And every year I go home for Christmas and we say, we're going to go do the tour, but then I'll call or something. And there's like a 2-hour wait. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Where I live, there's this place called Deacon Dave's and he,
Dick and Dave's,
Dick and Dave's.
I heard that one, right? No. I just want to say Dick and Dave.
No. So it's a, I thought when I was younger, it was like this guy named Deke and then another guy named Dave. Oh. So it was like Deke and Dave, but it's Deacon. He's a deacon. He's a man of God. And so he...
God bless. Peace be with him.
Yes. He does this super elaborate. Every year it's like themed. I've only been like once or twice, but it's same thing where we're like, let's go to Deacon Dave's. And we never do.
Yeah. What about other Halloween movies? I want to touch on some of my favorites. I think it's one of your favorites too, Casper.
That, I think Casper, another one of like, when I think of like movie sleepover or sleepover movies, Casper's high up on the list.
Right. Casper was one of my all-time faves and we're not going to be able to get a chance to do a Casper pop dive this year. So I wanted to just touch on it. I love that movie so much. And we talked about before recording Devon Sawa. I mean, he was such a stud in that movie and he only appears for like 1 minute. Yeah.
I told you I was a good dancer. Can I keep you? Casper?
That's how I know that, like, I'm not, like, I feel like seeing Devon Sawa, you're like, I am straight. Like, I know. Oh,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
for you, but for, like, as a young girl, you're like your heart was racing and you're just like, he's the most beautiful thing I had ever laid my eyes on. It was just like, one of my old roommates once said something about like Benny from the Sandlot. She was like, my heart hurt looking at him. And like, that's how I felt about Devon Sawa, where you were just like overcome with like emotion and love for him.
Yeah, he just shows up at that very end. Casper had a totally different voice throughout the whole movie. And then he just has a lower register when he turns into Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
And they do that slow dance. And that song, Jordan Hill, Remember Me This Way. Oh my God. That was another MP3 that I like ripped off Napster or something.
Ooh, remember me this way.
Gave your computer an insane virus.
I think that's available now.
Probably, I would hope.
I think I checked it like last year and it's available now.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking I had a crush on Christina Ricci, but I was
You're
false.
Confused.
It was like I was watching all of her movies.
You wanted to be her is probably the
It's just like watching
scenario.
Now and Then all the time. And I'm like, I just love Christina Ricci. I'm like, no, you're a big gay. Like,
I remember that one scene where she's like in that chair. And she's like getting the makeover. No, in Casper.
Right.
So she's like in that little chair and it's like the little invention room where she's like going down and like getting her hair cut. And I just remember being like, they should make that a ride somewhere. I want to like do that for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah. Apparently.
And her dad is played by Bill Pullman. Yes. Who we were talking about earlier.
We were. I met his son.
Handsome son.
I met his son yesterday and he was so nice. And I think he's going to be a really big movie star. Maybe he can be in the Casper remake.
I would love that. I never understood why there wasn't an official Casper 2, like with the same cast, because I thought it was a big hit, but then I was doing some research and it was just very expensive. And so they had talked about a sequel for a while and then they ended up just doing that Casper versus Wendy.
Which, thank you, because that gave us Hilary Duff. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Now, what about Nightmare Before Christmas? Do you like that movie?
Yeah. So I have like a weird relationship with A Nightmare Before Christmas. I feel like a lot of people... Like, I feel like you're either super into it, which I'm not. Like, I enjoy it and I appreciate it for what it is. I mean, it's really, like, in terms of, like, a masterful, like, art creation. It's, like, the stop motion animation. Like, the amount of time and effort that just went into making it in general, I think I can appreciate it from, like, an artistic standpoint. But I just remember being younger. So, it's the same as Hocus Pocus. It's turning 25 this year. So, I was 5 years old when it came out.
What a year that was.
They could have just quit after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as it goes. But I think I was just confused by Nightmare Before Christmas. I didn't know if Jack was like good or evil. And I was like not into scary things at that time. So I was like, I'm just, no, thank you.
I was scared of it too. And I then rewatched it as I got older and I liked it again. But I've never been like a crazy huge fan of it. But I do like it and respect it and stuff.
Totally.
I always wonder, like I always think, do you remember... So probably like 5 or 10 years after Nightmare Before Christmas came out, it became sort of this goth, you know, all the goth kids and people loved it. And they were really embracing it. And I always wondered, like, did they get pissed then? Because 5 years later, it became so mainstream. It's like they all had to get rid of their Nightmare Before Christmas merch.
Yeah. Speaking of like merch, I'm huge into Disneyland. And so I go there a lot and you'll see there is... Nightmare Before Christmas merch, just like everywhere.
That's how Hot Topic stays open.
True, like seriously.
Yeah.
Like I appreciate it and but I'm not buying a Jack Skellington Funko Pop anytime soon.
I think I might have one, but I took my brother and sister-in-law to it maybe 8 years ago or something, like 8-10 years ago. And when they were doing it in 3D, remember they were re-releasing all these movies in 3D and I took them. And at the time, I like really wanted to embrace it. Like I was trying to force myself to like really love it. And so I brought them and my sister-in-law fell asleep. Taryn was like sleeping. And then Gary was like not into it at all. And I like remember getting so pissed. I was like, come on, you guys, it's so good. Yeah. You know, I was like arguing with them.
Yeah.
And then years passed. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I just don't really like it that much. Like,
don't come for us, you guys. If you are like a Nightmare Before Christmas stan.
But we're just not like stans.
Exactly.
More Casper stans.
Casper all day, every day. I need like a Casper shirt and Casper.
Where's all the Casper merch?
I don't know. We need to get on that. I do remember. I also think I was sort of averse to Nightmare Before Christmas because in seventh grade, we had two classes called core. So it was like English and history kind of like mixed together.
No, it wasn't an ab class.
No, it was not an ab class. Our teacher was on maternity leave for the first couple months. And so this other woman, Mrs. Hunt, was our sub.
Bonnie, Helen.
So this one, though, this Hunt, I wonder if she is from the Hunt lineage, but she was like this big, like short, spiky gray hair. I remember she was really obsessed with like opening the skate park in Livermore, like where I'm from.
And she
had children.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it was whatever. I think everyone kind of speculated on that. But so she was so obsessed with Nightmare Before Christmas. And this was like when DVDs, like, first it's like DVDs out. Like exist. And so she's like, it has all these like special features and like behind the scenes.
I like how you said that real quick. The DVDs exist.
They just appeared one day.
Like in 98, everyone just walked out of their house. DVDs exist.
truly. So she was obsessed with it. And she made us watch it like every day for like a week or like 2 weeks or something like that. And I think that also kind of, exactly. I was already like not into it to begin with. And then being like, it's like exposure therapy. I was like, please don't do this to me. Like, I know. Thank you. I know. So, but
I'm more of a fan of Coraline. Did you ever see Coraline? I love Coraline. And I read the book. Neil Gaiman, he's the author of the book. He's like one of my favorite authors. And he also did a book called The Graveyard Book, which I think would be perfect for like a Halloween adaptation. It's like such a good book. Oh my God. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. Okay. So any final thoughts on Hocus Pocus?
It's just like we were saying, I think it's just a movie that will stand the test of time. Should the day come I have children, I will be showing them this movie, right, and it's just going to live on forever and ever.
And it is one of the rare pieces of entertainment that every age can enjoy.
Yeah.
There is a very vocal group of people now, though, that hates Hocus Pocus on social media. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I noticed last year where it's like people started with everything. It's like something gets really popular. It rises to the top from cult status. And then it's like people want to tear it down.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's always upsetting to me because it's like, can't people just enjoy fucking Hocus Pocus? Yeah. Like, let people enjoy it. Yeah, but I hate when people tear anything down that.
It's like, let people just enjoy things. Like we just
did to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, fuck so, you if you like Nightmare rude. Before Christmas. Just kidding. No, just kidding.
Amanda, so we talked a little bit about Disney. You tell me about, wait, let's take a little break. And then we'll come back and you'll tell me about
perfect
yourself. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend a TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. Okay, Amanda, so you run a Disneyland Foodies account. We've talked about it a little bit before, but please tell
us. I'm going to plug it again. So my sisters and I run this Instagram account. It's called Disneyland Foodies. As I mentioned, I'm a big Disneyland fan. So we basically just post pictures of all the different kinds of foods. And Halloween is actually a really big time. They go hard with like all these different kinds of new foods. A lot of churros this year. They're really, I think they kind of found the secret ingredient that people love a churro, and it's probably so cheap for them to
make
a churro and just be like, here's purple sugar. And people will be like, eat it up literally. So we've been
posting. What's your favorite Disneyland food?
Ooh, I love the Plaza Inn fried chicken. I think Disneyland has the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life.
I want it right now.
It's so good. I remember I went to this restaurant with Shauna and Caitlin and Lauren and Ryan Bailey, who listen to this podcast. So, hey guys.
Friends
of the show. So we went to this fried chicken place called No Name that like Beyonce and like Jay-Z, and they were literally like this is Jay-Z's favorite fried chicken ever. Like, he sat at the table you guys are sitting at, like, you know, last week, blah, blah, blah. I tried it and I was like, Disneyland's is better. It was still very good. It's very good fried
chicken. But no Disneyland.
Yeah.
Amanda, where can people find you on social media?
So I'm at A Hassica. And then, of course, at Disneyland Foodies, I'm in the Facebook group. So yes, if you want to come find me there, I post every once in a while, every so often when something tickles my fancy. So
everyone, please join the Everything Iconic Facebook group. Yeah. It's just search Everything Iconic. It's the Cynthia Swan Crisis Center for Pop Culture Lovers,
which is an
homage to Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler's First Wives Club.
Best name ever.
And then please follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please join the Everything Iconic Patreon if you want to support this podcast. For $4 or more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes. We're going to do a little mini Halloween pop dive, and that'll be on Patreon. So that's patreon.com/everythingiconic. And your donation just helps us make this podcast. I want to thank Samson Technologies for sponsoring this show.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Oh, can we do a quick cool down too? Yeah. I've been doing these now. So take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Take one more deep breath in. Now think of a Halloween memory. Think about it. Think about it. Who were you with? Breathe out.
I'm trick-or-treating.
Now I want you, whoever you were trick-or-treating with, to reach out to them. Maybe on Facebook. Maybe send them a text. Maybe call them and just tell them, hey, remember that time when we went trick-or-treating? I love you. And tell them. Let them know. Thank you all for listening. Love you so much. Bye-bye.